The National Weather Service is predicting an above-average hurricane season with 3 to 6 storms. And the military often responds in the event of a natural disaster in our community. But how does it prepare its troops and their families to ensure it can fulfill its defense mission? Joining me this morning is Mike Smith, who's the Director for Emergency Preparedness Training for the Navy. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this is very timely since NOAA just issued this report.
It sure is. It's great timing for us to discuss this and talk about being prepared, and both for the military and for everybody out in the community.
And share with us, because defense is your primary mission.
It sure is. Regardless of what happens in the state, any type of natural disaster, we've got to be ready to deploy ships or aircraft to whatever is needed around the world. So we've got that responsibility. And in order to accomplish that responsibility, we've got to be able to take care of the sailors, the airmen, the civilians, and all their family members. And at the same time, we've got to be able to help the state recover from any type of natural disaster.
Right. And many of the bases are along the coast. And so you've got that additional hazard of run-up. You know, you're in the inundation zone.
That's correct. We look at Pearl Harbor. We're right on the water, and much of the base and the adjoining flight line is right on the water. Over on Kauai, we've got the Pacific Missile Range Facility, and again, that's right on the beach. So any type of natural disaster, a storm, the storm surge that would be impacting the bases can really cause a lot of havoc.
And I grew up on an island in Guam, and there are military bases there. And we used to always kind of take our cues because we had typhoon conditions over there. And as soon as it got to a certain level and we saw the military ships and subs leaving, we knew this was serious stuff.
Sure is. We'll keep our submarines and our ships and the aircraft. They'll stay on the island as long as possible. But once we're sure that the storm is going to hit and there's going to be severe damage, we've got to get the ships out of the port and the airplanes to a safe haven.
And the concern there is, too, yeah, you've got to have time to prepare yourself, prepare your belongings if you're in an area that is that could be threatened. So you do want to take the steps to prepare before it actually hits.
Right. What we tell people is stay informed. And radio is a perfect place to get that information. Make a plan. It's great to rely on other people, but everybody needs to have a plan of what they're going to do, where they're going to go, what they're going to take with them, and have a kit. And that's basically what we try to tell people and really push for everybody to do that.
Right. And you could have situations for military families where the spouse is deployed somewhere and the family that's remaining with the children then really need to be aware because they may not be from here. This may be their first post or they're unfamiliar with how the storms happen out here in this region.
Right. And we're kind of fortunate where we're located because we can see a storm forming in the Pacific somewhere, and we've got a lot of time leading up to it. But you're right. We have a lot of young families, people that this may be their first duty station. The spouse is deployed. They're with young children, a number of different situations. So we have a big obligation to help them out as well.
And I imagine, though, the basics are the same for whether you're a civilian family or a military family.
It is. It's the same thing. I think right now the state is recommending that people have 14 days worth of food on hand. And you have to wonder how many people really do that. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't do that. And once I got into this position, I said, you know what? I need to start doing this too. And now we've done that. We've got food set aside. We've got water set aside. And we're prepared. We've made that plan and we have our kit.
And you grew up on an island too.
I did. I grew up on the East Coast. And the East Coast gets a lot of hurricanes. And they would come up. And growing up as a young boy, we're never really prepared. We didn't have as much preparedness, as much knowledge maybe then as we do now. The systems now for tracking and detecting storms are so much better. But still, we've got to be ready.
Right. And I know officials always advise to have a go bag ready.
Absolutely. In my own home, I've got food that I keep in the garage. I bought some of that food online. You can buy it. It comes in a box, and it's I think, 30 days of supplies of food. It's that dried food.
Dehydrated.
Yeah. It's not delicious.
Okay.
But it'll serve in an emergency. And our plan is that we would use what's in the refrigerator first, use that up. We've got the grill outside so we can cook food if we have to. And then if something happens and we can't get more food, we've got the 30-day supply. But I also have a separate kit that if something happened and we had to leave our home, we've got things in there.
Right. And if you're staying put, I know if you lose power and you lose your refrigerator and your freezer, generally the thought is, well, you're going to eat well for the next few days, barbecue all your steaks and your meats and all of that. But then after that, then you kind of – then you have to change your diet. You eat canned food.
You will.
Whatever's available.
You'll get to that point, right. And, you know, I think back to Inike. Was that 92 when Inike came through? I wasn't here at the time, but they said up to 4 weeks after the hurricane went through, 20% of Kauai still didn't have power. So, yeah, we could lose power and be subjected to eating some things that we really wouldn't normally want to have.
Right, and I've mentioned this before, and I've been without power for, I believe it was 3 months, and without water for 1 month. So you really have to be resilient, and you have to learn how to take care of your family, and then hopefully you'll get some other assistance. But
right.
It's all about being prepared. And I know you have your go bag with you. talk about some of the items that are important for folks to have.
Well, some of the things that you want to have in your go bag is naturally food and water. And I mentioned that the state is recommending 14 days. I don't have that in my go bag, but I have that at other places. This is just for a couple of days if we had to go to a shelter. But the things that we might not want to normally don't think about might be like medicine. So I keep a couple of extra days worth of supply of different types of medicine, dog food. I've got two puppies,
right.
And they're going to want to eat too. So some shelters allow, some don't allow. So you got to make a plan for what you're going to do with the pets and have food set aside for them.
Right. And the reality is we're seeing families on the Big Island deal with, an abrupt evacuation,
right.
And they've had to deal with all their pets and, just getting out at moment's notice.
And that's what happens a lot of times when we have to evacuate. It's at a moment's notice. So that goes back to that being informed and having a plan. If you had to evacuate tomorrow or in 6 hours, do you have things set aside?
Right. And so you folks are going to be, conducting some drills?
We are. We do this every year. We conduct a preparedness drill, and we go through an actual week of exercises leading up to a landfall of a major storm. So that gives us about 5 days of different steps that we take, and as the storm progresses and gets closer and closer, we do more things. And eventually we would get to the point where we would say, okay, now the ships and the airplanes have to deploy. We won't actually deploy the ships, but we'll go through all the process that it takes to get all the ships out.
Right. The idea is training. You drill it, and then when it actually happens to trigger it, then you know what to do.
Right. And then we could go into a recovery phase of our exercise, and we would simulate that there was some damage and what we would do to help our families recover from that, help the ships come back to the port, and it may even be helping the state. We've exercised where we've used Pearl Harbor as an alternate port if something were to happen to Honolulu port and container ships couldn't get in. And so much of our goods come by container ships. But if something were to happen to the port, the cranes were destroyed, the port was blocked, then we can use Pearl Harbor.
Okay, so those are just it's Plan B.
It's the alternate.
Right.
We don't have the capability that they have in Honolulu, but we could offload barges.
Okay, just to be able to keep the flow of goods, of food, that the essentials
coming
through.
All those emergency essential items.
Right. Okay. So good. Good start to the season. Got everybody's attention. The prediction is 3 to 6 storms, and it runs from June 1st
through the end of November.
November. Okay, so you got to keep on your toes.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, Mike Smith, thanks for joining us this morning. And as May marks Military Appreciation Month, a big mahalo for all that the military does.
Thank you, and thanks to the radio for helping us out.
All right. I'm Catherine Cruz, and you're listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio.